Okay, good morning, Boker Tov, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to all those on Zoom. We have a very exciting, action-packed shiur planned for today. We have, first of all, a few important sponsorship announcements. To start with, the shiurim for the whole of the 2022 academic year have been sponsored Le'ilu Nishmois Brana Bas Bendit and Zelig Ben Kalman. We continue to be grateful for that anonymous sponsorship. But we have a special sponsorship this week, that the learning for the whole of this week, 20th to the 25th of Sivan, is being dedicated in the loving memory of a dear sister on her 42nd Yortzeit. That is Chaya Blumer Bas Avram Meir, Alea Shalom, Betty David Kahan, Alea Shalom. And the sponsorship is by Mel David. Mr. David is here and just introduced himself to me. And Gitti and Mendy Zwick, I don't know if they're here or if they're here on Zoom, or if they're just with us in spirit, if you like. But certainly we're grateful for that sponsorship. Thank you very much. It should be an aliyah for her neshama. And we should learn some good Torah in her zechut. And the Torah that I want to learn with you today, as I said, yes, please turn off your phones. It's a little ritual. I say every week, please turn off your phones, and every week somebody's phone rings. And but anyway, we'll continuity, consistency is reassuring in itself. The subject for today's shiur involves so many issues. We'll be looking at Chumash and Mishnah and Gemara, Be'ezrat Hashem and Halacha and Agada. And a bit of Hashkofa. We will be looking at geography and history and biography and meteorology and a little astronomy. And we're going to be asking the question, which you may feel is a strange question to ask in the middle of June, which is, why do we start saying V'tein Tal Umatar on December the 4th? We are giving a series of shurim on the Jewish calendar. What's that? Outside Israel, correct. We, I'm identifying with those in Chutz La'aretz, we, the Jewish people outside Israel, why do we start saying V'tein Tal Umatar on December the 4th? There is no other date in the Jewish calendar that is relevant to the English day of the year apart from December the 4th or December the 5th. Sometimes we'll talk about that. It's a strange thing. Why am I talking about this in the middle of June rather than in December? First of all, when my wife looks out of the window at the weather this morning, she said it feels like the middle of winter. Okay, but that wasn't planned. But I'm never here in the first week of December. That's one of the weeks that I am always traveling, and Be'ezrat Hashem will continue to do so, to recruit. So we'll never get the shiur in the right time in December, so we'll have it in the middle of June. Yesterday, of course, I'm sure people were aware of this, was the summer solstice. Yesterday morning, to be precise, I'm sure that at Stonehenge they were out in their usual way, doing their usual thing. But we are going to be talking not about the summer solstice, but more about the autumnal equinox. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. Okay, let us start by a little bit on rain. You know, one of the things that people notice when they make Aliyah, you know, I'm from England. When it rains, nobody really says anything apart from just grumbles and mumbles and complains. I'm also from Yorkshire, so everyone complains at everything. But in Israel, when it rains in November, the kids run out in the streets. They play, they sing, they teach them songs. Rain in this country is an entirely different concept to rain in the rest of the world, and that's one of the beautiful things about Israel. Let's start with some psukim that reflect that. Number one. Ki ha'aretz asheata ba shama l'rishta, the land that you're coming to dwell in, says God, lo k'aretz Mitzrayim hi. It is not like Mitzrayim. Asher yitzatem misham, where you left. Asher tizra et zaracha v'hishkita baraglecha kegan hayarak. There's no rain in Egypt. The way that you water the fields is you go down to the Nile. The Nile floods every year. Of course, there's rain somewhere down in Uganda, but in Egypt there's zero rain. The Nile floods. You walk down with a big pot or a big whatever it is, a tumbler, and you take out the water and you tramp with your feet back up from the Nile. That's what it means. V'hishkita baraglecha, or maybe it means that they have little channels and you can just kick open the front of the channel. That's how the rain works in Egypt. The ha'aretz ha'she'atem oivrim shama l'rishta, the land that you're going to, says God, eretz harim ubaka'ot, is a land of hills and valleys. It's very unlike Egypt. L'matar ha'shamayim tishtemayim, you won't be able to drink from the river, you will drink from the rain. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Ota Tamid. The land is constantly under scrutiny. Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireishis Hashana Ad Achris Hashana. Beautiful psukim. God's eyes, if you like, is his hashkacha is on the land all the year round, without exception. V'haya, and then he goes into the second paragraph of the Shema. Im Shema Tishmu El Mitzvaysai. If you listen to my mitzvahs, Hashem Anochi Mitzvayischem Hayom Liyahavais Hashem Elokechem. Loving God, La'avdo, serving God, V'chol Levavchem U'V'chol Nafshechem. Very strong words with a full heart, all of our strength, all of our hearts. Then the first thing you get is V'natati Matara Tzachem Be'itor. Then you'll get the rain at the right time when the rain needs to fall. Yoreh Umal Kosh, different kinds of rain, rain at the beginning of the season, rain at the end of the season. I once heard from Rav Yoel ben Nun that rain at different times of year sounds different. When the rain falls at the beginning of the season, there's no grass yet on the fields, it's banging off the floor. And when the rain falls in March and April, it falls on the grass, and there's a different kind of sound. We're very attuned to different kinds of rain. Yoreh Umal Kosh. Then you'll gather in your crops, your wine, your olive oil, etc. You'll have grass for your animals, and you'll eat and you will be satisfied. Do not turn to other gods. And then God will be angry with us for abandoning his mitzvahs. And the first consequence is no rain. The heavens are closed up. And as a consequence, we will swiftly be thrown out of our land. Famous words, we say them every day, twice a day, but it's all about rain. Rain is the very first consequence of our performing mitzvahs, of our not performing mitzvahs. As my son said to me, in other countries of the world, people look to the markets to see where their parnasa is going. In Israel, we look to the sky. It's like looking to the stock exchange. We look to the sky. Are the clouds coming? Are the clouds not coming? And even today, with all the technology that we have, rain makes a very big difference to many things. I brought you a little bit of a 100-year brief look at the rainfall variation in Israel. So, of course, you can see immediately between summer and winter, there's massive. Every one of these is a peak and a trough every year. But also between the years, there are very significant variations. There are years of drought. There are entire decades where the rainfall is below average, above average, etc. And our eyes are constantly on the issue of rain. Also in the brachas, in number 2, in Dvarim, one of the promises is Yiftach Hashem lecha et otzaro hatov. We'll see that expression in a minute. God will open up his storehouse et hashamayim, which is the heavens, latet matar artzecha, to give rain to your land, beito, at the right time. Again, we need the rain at the right time. Rain in the middle of May is not only unhelpful, it is positively harmful. To bless everything we do. And again, it will be linked with our financial ability to give loans, etc. Will all be based on the rain. For us, rain is life. Look in the source in number 3, an important midrash. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shloisha Maftechot B'yado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 3 keys in the hands of God, Shalom nimsru biyad shaliach, which are not handed over to any other shaliach. Ve'elu heim, mavteach shel geshamim, mavteach shel chaya, mavteach shel tchias ha-mesim. The key to rain, the key to life, giving birth, bringing new life into the world, the key to tchias ha-mesim, reviving life, reviving the dead. You see here, rain and life are a part of exactly the same idea. These are in the hands of God, and we look to the heavens. Israel is in that very interesting spot. Just to the north of us in Turkey, there is guaranteed abundant rainfall every year. I brought you here in the footnote, some parts of Turkey get 1,400 millimeters of rain every year. Just to the south of us in Egypt, there is guaranteed zero rain. We are exactly in that point, but it depends which way the wind blows, which way the meteorology goes, and that's why we have this variation from year to year. It's a very unusual climate, and one in which we are constantly looking to Shamayim. The Midrashim picked this up as well. Look at number 4. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the one thing that's different is the rains. Eina geshamim yoredim bi'otzeh hatov. The rains no longer quite come from the same type of bracha. And he brings the pasuk again, Yiftach Hashem lecha et Oitzro Hatov, Bisman Shi Yisrael Oisin Ritzon Shel Makom. When the Jewish people do what they're meant to be doing, the Yisrael Shruim Alad Masam, and the Jews are in their land in Israel. Gishamim Yoredim Mi Oitzro Hatov. The rain is coming from a whole different place. Bisman She Ein Yisrael Shruim Alad Masam, but outside in Chutz Laaretz, Ein Gishamim Yoredim Mi Oitzro Hatov. The rain in Spain is not the same as the rain in Tel Aviv, as the rain in, you can see it later on, as the rain in Yerushalayim. It's a different rain. Now, one of the things that people often say is, the Jews in England, in America, they're really davening for the rain in Israel. We'll see, that's not really the case. The halacha doesn't really say that. It's an idea that's brought down, but in halacha, they need their own rain. The question, of course, we're going to ask is, when do they need their rain? We know when we need our rain. We need our rain in November, December, January, February. Forgive me for using the English months. You can listen to last week's shir if you think that's right or wrong. But we need our rain in the winter. But if you live in Recife in Brazil, or Montevideo in Uruguay, or in Johannesburg, or in Melbourne, that's not when they need their rain. They need their rain at different times. So when should they be davening for their rain? Even though it's not coming from Oitzer Hatov, it's not coming from the same kind of brocha as the rain in Israel, they also need rain and they also need to live, and we'll see how that works there. The expression, v'tein tal u'matar, is taken from Eliyahu HaNavi. If you look in number 5, Pasuk in Malachim, v'yome Eliyahu atishbi mitoshavei Gilad. Eliyahu from Gilad comes down. He says to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher amadti lefanav, im yihi hashanim ha'ele, there will not be any in these years, what will there not be? Tal umatar. That's the phrase. Tal umatar. Kim lefi dvari, unless I say there will be. Eliyahu stops the rain because of Achav, and that's where the phrase comes from. Someone just mind shutting the door, if you don't mind, just at the back there, so that we don't get all of the buying coming from there. Okay, so let's get into the halachic side. When do we ask for rain? When do we praise for rain? This is all going to be straightforward enough, but it's going to get complicated quite quickly. Let's start. Source number 6. Says the Mishnah, Maskirin gvurois hagashamim gashamim betchias hamesim v'shoyalim hagashamim bebirkas hashan. So that's the first point. The Mishnah in Bracha says that there are two different things. We praise God, Mashiv haruach u'moirid hagashem, and that goes in the second bracha Shemona Esrei of Machai Mesim, for the reasons we said, because the key to the rain and the key to life are in the same idea. But we ask for the rain in Birkat Hashanim. That is the bracha Barech Aleinu es Hashanah Hazois, where we ask for parnasa, we ask for success. So that's where we ask for the rain. V'tein tal umata. Question is, when do we start saying these things? Number 7. Again, you'll be familiar with this. Look in the Mishnah in Tanis. Says the Mishnah, Me'ematai maskirin gvuras on the Gishamim. When do we start saying gvurat Gishamim? Mashiv haruach. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Miyomtif Rishon Shel Chag. We start at the beginning of Sukkot. The very beginning. Now, that's not what we do. We'll see why in a minute. Rebbe Yeshua Omer, Miyomtif Achron Shel Chag. We only start Mashiv haruach on Shmini Atzeret, which is what we yes do. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, "Hoyel ve'ena gushomim elasim and klala v'chag lama maskir." If rain on Sukkot is a negative thing because it's going to push us out of the sukkah, why are you asking for rain from the beginning of Sukkot? It's not what we want on Sukkot. So Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer answers him, "Afani lo amarti lishol. I didn't say we're requesting rain. Elalahazki. We're just mentioning mashiv haruach umarit hagashim ba'onotah." It is the rainy season. We're saying Mashiv Haruach. Baruch Hashem, God, you send rain. But not this week, please. This week we prefer not to have rain. So Rabbi Yeshua says to him, Amaloi, in Kain La'olam Yehei Maskir. So why are you only starting now? If you're telling me you're not asking for it, you're just praising God, so praise God in June. Praise God in April. You don't have to wait. So Rabbi Eliezer would say, no, I praise God now, because now is the rainy season. Now is the time that we're thinking about it. But there's a difference between Mashiv Haruach and V'tein Tal Umatar. And we Paskin, of course, like Rabbi Yeshua, that we ask for rain, or we mention rain rather, we say Mashiv Haruach, only from Shmini Atzeret. And that is the practice all around the world. On Shmini Atzeret, we say Tfilat Geshem, in Chutz Laaretz, in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, Shmini Atzeret is rolled into Simchat Torah. More about that next week, Bezrat Hashem. Or not next week, I won't be here next week. I won't be here for the next 2 weeks. But when I get back 3 weeks from now, please God, we'll be talking more about the issue of the Parshias and why we're in such a big split from Chutz La'aretz this year. We'll get to that 3 weeks from today, please God. But we say Mashiv HaRuach on Shmini Atzeres. Number eight, what about the Tein Talamata? Ein Shoyalim Esa Geshamim Ela Somach L'Geshamim. So the Mishnah here says, and there's a debate in the Gemara, is this still talking about Mashiv HaRuach, or are we now moving on to the Tein Talamata? Let's assume the latter. We only start asking for rain near to when the rain comes. Now, let's see. So first of all, let's look at the end. When will we stop saying V'tein Talamatar? Ad Eimasai Shoyalim Esa Geshamim. How long do we ask for the rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiyavor HaPesach. Until the end of Pesach. We should ask for the rain all the way through to the end of Pesach, and only at the end of Pesach should we stop saying V'tein Talamatar. Now, as you'll know, that's not what we do. And the Gemara actually brings two views in Rabbi Yehuda, one that says we stop at the beginning of Pesach, and one that says we stop, like here, at the end of Pesach. And we stop at the beginning of Pesach. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad Sheyetze Nisan. We should be saying V'tein Talamata all the way through Nisan to the end of Nisan. Sheneemar, Pasuk from Yoel, V'yored Lachem Geshem, Moire Umakosh Barishon. You will get rain, and the rain can be very hard at the end of the season. You'll get rain in Nisan as well. Nisan is a Chodesh Gashum, is a rainy month. So Rabbi Meir says we should say all through Nisan. So Rabbi Yehuda will say back to him, okay, that was an exception. Yoel was a year of drought. The rains came late. That's why there was rain all the way through Nisan. In a regular year, we'll stop. Thank you very much. We'll stop already at the beginning of Pesach. And that's what we do. We stop saying V'tein Talamatar on the first day of Pesach, and we say Tfilat Tal at the very beginning of Pesach. Nachon? So Tfilat Geshem on Shmini Atzeret, Tfilat Tal at the beginning of Pesach.
It always rains after.
And what? It always rains after that, because at the end of the seasons have also changed. The rains in Israel now start later and end later than they did at the time of the Mishnah. But we'll get back to that another time. But when do we start? Now here's when it starts to get complicated. Look at Gimel in number 8. So the Mishnah says, "B'shloisha b'mar cheshvan shoyalim et ha-gashamim." We start saying V'tein Talamatar in Israel on the 3rd of Cheshvan. So that's not what we do, right? Rabban Gamliel Omer b'shiv abba. We start saying on the 7th of Cheshvan. Chamisha achar asayom achar achag. 15 days after this, after Sukkot, is the 7th of Cheshvan. Kedei sheyagia achron shebi Yisrael the Nahar Prat. So that the last Jews who are going back from Aliyah LeRegel, they can get already over the Nahar Prat, over the river. If it rains too early, then the rivers will be swollen, they won't be able to cross them, the roads will be destroyed, all the Ole Regel will not get back home to Bavel in time. So we start saying on the 7th of Cheshvan. What's that?
In time for what? Are they rushing to get back there?
No, they won't get back at all. They'll get stuck. The river will be swollen, they won't be stuck. They've got no food, they'll be stuck already in the middle of Syria somewhere, trying to get across the Euphrates. We want them to get home safely back to Bavel. So this is what we do, right? We start saying V'tein Talamata on the 7th of Cheshvan. But you should be asking me, but why? Why on earth would we start on the 7th of Cheshvan when it's quite explicit that the reason that they started on the 7th of Cheshvan is so the Ole Bavel, the Ole Regel rather, can get back to Bavel. There's no Ole Regel coming from Bavel. There's no one at all coming from Bavel right now. Can't get a flight from Iraq to Israel, okay? And therefore, why don't we start right at the end of Sukkot? Why do we care about this 15-day period anymore? And that's actually what the Gemara says. Look in number 9. Says the Gemara number 9. B'shloisha b'mar cheshvan sh'alesa g'shamim Rabban Gamliel omer b'shiva bo. Quotes the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel says on the 7th. Ah, v'ramei Rabbi Leza says, Elazar rather says, halacha ka Rabban Gamliel. Yes, we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, that we start on the 7th. Ah, v'ha'ama Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Israel, after the Churban, didn't he say, "B'makom sheshoyel maskir"? No, when we say Mashiv HaRuach, that's when we ask for rain. But when we stop, we stop. We only start when we say Mashiv HaRuach. Ki ka'ama Rabbi Yochanan bizman she'en bes mis hamikdash kayim. So Rabbi Yochanan says we should be asking already earlier, from when we start saying Mashiv HaRuach. Why are we waiting till the 7th of Cheshvan? So he says that applies. He is saying that when there's no bes hamikdash. The Lord Kasha, and therefore there's no problem. Can bizman she beis hamikdash kaim? When there is a beis hamikdash, Rashi explains, de ika oile regalim, there are people who come up for oile regal. We only say on the 7th of Cheshvan and can, but when there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, then we start asking for rain immediately after Sukkot. Because there's no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore why would you wait till the 7th of Cheshvan? But that's not what we do. So that's very strange, because the Gemara seems very clearly to Paskin that the 7th of Cheshvan is only relevant when there's a Beis HaMikdash. So go over the page to page 3. The Rif and the Rambam, however, rule that even today, when there is no temple, we still ask for rain on the 7th of Cheshvan in Israel. Now, there were Rishonim and the Ritva specifically, and we'll see the Ritva later, that actually paskened that no, in Israel you should start on the day after Shmini Atzeres. You should start asking for rain with 10 talamata already then, because he paskens like this Gemara that seems clearly to say that if there's no temple, we should start immediately after Sukkot. The Ran says, no, we stick with the 7th of Cheshvan, because even today when there's no Aliyah LaRegel, people still come to Yerushalayim. There are still people traveling. Interesting, the Ran lived in Spain in the 14th century. Seems there were still people coming to Yerushalayim. The truth is, Yerushalayim in the 14th century was already a bit busier than it was in the 9th and 10th century at Sukkot's time. But he says, we still stick to the 7th of Cheshvan. And that is the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at number 10. Ube'eretz Yisrael, in Israel, matchilin ish'ol milel zayin b'cheshvan. We start saying the 10 talamata on 7th of Cheshvan. V'shoylim ad tfilas ha-mincha, and we ask all the way till mincha, shall erev yom tov harishon shall pesach, till erev pesach, and that's when we stop. U'misham ve'elech poiskim lish'ol. Fine. And the Orach HaShulchan says the reason that we all use the 7th of Cheshvan in Israel is because of Loplug. Basically, the rabbis made a rule. It doesn't matter what the reason is, even though they mention the Ole Regel. That's not really the reason. Even though there's another reason brought in the Gemara, which is people have stuff in the fields that is going to get drenched if the rains come too soon. It's still drying out. Says that's not really the reason either. The reason is Loplug. The rabbis made a rule. Everybody starts on the 7th of Cheshvan, and that's what we all do. Okay. So in Israel, everybody starts on the 7th of Cheshvan, even though there are Rishonim, like I mentioned, the Ritva and others, that said that you should really start earlier. What happens if someone by mistake says, V'tein tal umatar, before the 7th of Cheshvan? So the post can bring down that in Israel, so that's b'di'evad, it's okay, because we still need the rain, even though it's not, strictly speaking, the time to come, the time to ask for rain, and therefore if you did say after Sukkot, before the 7th of Cheshvan, b'di'evad, you shouldn't, l'chatchila, but b'di'evad, it's okay if you did. Okay, fine. So far, simple enough. Even though we've got that little wrinkle as to why on earth do we wait till the 7th of Cheshvan, and we've seen Lo Plug, that is what the rabbi said, they didn't differentiate between different situations. But now we get to our friends in Chutz La'aretz. And who knows, maybe on Zoom, there are people in Chutz La'aretz who are watching right now, and they have a completely different halacha. Look in number 12. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Loza, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. Yes, we saw the halacha follows Rabban Gamliel. In Israel, we start on the 7th of Cheshvan. Tanya, however, Chananya Omer. Now, who was Chananya? Chananya was a Tana that lived in Israel. He was the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, and he went to spend some time in Bavel. This was during the time of the Tanaim, after the Beis HaMikdash, and he came back to Israel and reported, we'll see soon, a lot of his reports, what people did in Chutz La'aretz. Reported back to his family and the Tanaim back in Israel. Chananya is most famous for his shita in heating up food before Shabbos. Chananya is the one that says that if, as long as the food is a third cooked, so maybe a half cooked, you can still put it in an open flame when Shabbos comes in, because we're not worried you're going to come and stir it or turn the heat up. That's a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. We see him now in a different halacha. Chananya Omer ubegola, in the gola, ad shishim betkufa. Now, what does that mean? Ad shishim betkufa, until 60 of the equinox. We'll see if we can work out what that means. And where on earth is the Gola? Is that Bavel? Is that Hendon? Is that Johannesburg? How does that work? Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel, who lived a couple of generations later in Bavel, says, halacha kechananya. That's the halacha. In Bavel, we don't ask for rain until the 60th of the equinox. We'll see what that means. Ah, Amy, is that true, says the Gemara? The Haba Minei Mishmuel, don't we have a tradition that they asked Shmuel himself? When do we start saying V'tein Talamatar? And he gave a different time. Amar Lahu, and he said to the people who asked, Michimai Litzivi Lebeitavos Rishba. From when they start bringing in the wood into the storehouse of Tuvus, the bird hunter. You met him here. Tavut, the bird hunter. Okay? So isn't that a different time? Says the Gemara, Dilmi idi ve idi chachi urhu. They're the same time. Basically, once the rains start coming down, you're not going to leave the wood out in the fields. It's going to get all damp and useless. You're going to bring it all in. That is the same as 60 after the equinox. That's the same time, and that's apparently how we paskin. Looking number 13, the Yerushalmi's version is Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua. Chananya, the nephew of Reb Yeshua Omer, Begola, when I was over there in Bavel in the Gola, Lo Nahagu came, that they didn't ask for rain on the 7th of Cheshvan. Ela Ad Shishim Yom B'Tekufa, only 60 days into the Tekufa, to the equinox season. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel then said, Halacha Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua. Fine. 60 days after the equinox. That's when you ask in Bavel, where is the Gola? Number 14, my Gola. What does it mean, the Gola? Amar Reb Yosef, Zo Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa, one of the main cities in Bavel, on the Euphrates there, that is the Gola. So in the Gola, they ask, why? Why later? Why don't they start on the 7th of Cheshvan? So Rashi explains, look at this Rashi, very important Rashi for us, 15. Because it's very low. Bavel is in a valley, right? Remember from the Tower of Babel when they built, they went to the valley? Yeah? That's very low. If you're in the valley, there's loads of water. Why? Because all the runoff from the mountains runs down into the valley. They don't need so much rain. They can wait till 60 days after the equinox to start asking. But Eretz Yisrael is in the mountainous region, and therefore the rain runs away. We need more rain. And he explains on the next line, Ubabavel Bagola, Mitoksha Ainan Srichina Gashamim, Ain Sholim Ashishim Litzkufa Tishrei. They only ask 60 days into the Tekufa. But what about France? Rashi lives in France. We're going to have a lot of history and geography coming in. Rashi lives in France in the 11th century. V'kan anu nogim, and that's what we do here. Shekol minhagenu achar bnei Bavel. Because we do what the Babylonians do.
But the weather in France.
The weather in Troyes, or the weather in Worms, where Rashi was in his youth when he studied in the academies of Rabbeinu Gershom and his students, that's not the same climate. But he says, I don't care. We follow the Babylonians. Which is itself interesting, because there is a discussion as to where Ashkenazi minhag came from. And there are many, there's a kind of fragile academic consensus that the Ashkenazim came much more from the Eretz Yisrael minhag, came up through Italy to northern France and Germany, whereas the Sephardim in northern Africa and Spain, they were much more from the Babylonians. Says Rashi, our minhag here is to do what the Babylonians do. Now, why is he so insistent on that? We'll see soon, because there were others in France who followed the minhag Eretz Israel and started asking on the 7th of Cheshvan, even in France. And Rashi is saying, no, that's not happening. Guys, we're going to follow the Talmud Bavli, and we're going to do what the Babylonians do. Very interesting. We'll see more of other communities later. But that seems to be Rashi saying, outside Bavli, it doesn't matter if the weather's different, we follow that rule. Okay, good. What is this 60 days after the Tekufa? So this is where we need to bring back some of the things we discussed last week and the week before. Go to page 4. What is the Tekufa? So I mentioned yesterday was the summer solstice. So there are two equinoxes in each year. The equinox is where the day and the night are exactly equal, where the sun, if you like, is right above, from our perspective, right above the equator. The autumnal equinox is in September. The vernal equinox is in spring, in March. So 60 days means 60 days after the autumnal equinox. Or maybe it means 60 days into the season of Tekufat Tishrei. Tekufat Tishrei is either a reference to the time, the exact moment of the equinox, or the season that follows, the autumnal season from September through to December, which is the winter solstice. So how are we going to calculate those 60 days? So we have two questions starting off. Is the first day included? And is the last day included? That's the first thing we have to ask. So we can answer both of those questions relatively easily. Look at number 16. Yom Tkufat Gomer, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the day of the Tkufa itself is the end of the last period. And Rabbi Yose Omer, Yom Tkufa Matchil. No, the day of the Tkufa is the first day of the next period, not the last day of the previous period. And we paskin, I brought you in the footnotes, clearly like Rabbi Yose, okay, gosh, go ahead. The first day is therefore included in the 60.
Whether we start
counting 60 days, and day number one is the day after the Tkufa, or do we include that day itself? Fine. What about the last day? So that's a question specifically in Tanis on this issue, number 16. Number 17. Iboy Lehu, they asked the following Shaila. Yom Shishim is the 60th day, Kelifnei Shishim, like the days before, meaning we do not ask for rain, so it's not included. Or Kalacha Shishim, or is it like the days after where we do ask for rain? Exactly. Tashma, so he brings an answer here. Rav Amar, Yom Shishim, Kalacha Shishim, the 60th day is already called the like the days after. We're already asking for rain on the 60th day. Shmuel Amar, Yom Shishim, Kalifnei Shishim. No, Shmuel said the 60th day is not included. And Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa says, Hilchasa Yom Shishim, Kalacha Shishim. That the halacha is, Rav Papa says, that the 60th day is like after, which means we're already asking for rain on the 60th day itself. By the way, just as a side, why do I need Rav Papa to tell me the halacha is like Rav? We have a general principle, whenever there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is always like Rav in issues of Isser Veheta, like this, whether I say Vatein Talamata or not. So there's a lot of discussion in the Meporashim why the Gemara needed to say. There's another Girsa that flips them, and this is like Shmuel rather than like Rav, but that's all beyond what we need. And therefore, it seems very straightforward. Day 1 and day 60 are included in the 60 days, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, number 18, Birkas HaShanim Tzarech Loma B'Yemoseh G'Shamim V'Tein Tal Umata. In Birkas HaShanim, in that bracha, we say V'Tein Tal Umata in the winter, U'Matchilim Nish'al Matar B'Chutz La'aretz, when do we start asking for rain in Chutz La'aretz? B'Tfilat Arvis, excuse me, in the Tfilah of Mariv, which Tfilah of Mariv? Shel Yom Samach Achat Kufa Tishrei, of the 60th day after the equinox. So you go the night before, because our day starts at night before. You take that Mariv, brackets for Yom Hatzkufa Hu Bichlal Hashish. And the Yom and the day of the equinox is included. The last day is included. The first day is included. And therefore, it sounds very simple, right? Just tell me which day is the equinox. Just check it out. Google it. Which day is the equinox? Count 60 days, including that day. And on the last day, on the 60th day, go to the Mara before and start Stavitain Talamata.
Why didn't you say 59 days?
Why doesn't it say 59 days? Okay, good. The Gemara likes rounding up. Because the Chumash likes rounding up as well.
It's 60 days and it doesn't go back. It's like,
right, you know, there's a Rosh that talks about the Rosh was not a philosophical thinker per se, but he says some things that sound quite rationalist. The Rosh says, for example, in the Chumash, it says you count 50 days for the Omer, but you really only count 49. And there are, it says you count, what's the other one? You give 40 lashes, but they're really only a 39. And 70 souls went down to Egypt, but they're really only 69. And even in the Gemara, when it says the how many malachas there are, it says 40 minus 1, not 39. So we like rounding up in that sense. Okay, good. So it sounds straightforward enough, right? So this is how it's meant to work. In theory, the equinox is usually around September 22nd or 23rd. That's when you can look that up in an astronomical calendar. I brought you this year, the equinox is on Friday, September the 23rd at 4:03 a.m. Israel time. That is exactly the point at which there's the equinox. Okay, Shkoyah. So take 60 days from September the 23rd and you get to November the 21st. So let's start saying V'tein Talamata outside Israel on Mariv on November the 20th. Which is the night before the 60th day from the equinox. But as you know, that's not what we do. Why do we not do that? So let's try and work that out now. How do we calculate the equinox? So unfortunately, you can't just look it up in an astronomical table, because there is a halachic definition of the equinox, not just an astronomical one. Number 19, Shmuel. Here he is again. By the way, Shmuel, maybe let's start with number 20. Shmuel was an astronomer. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, look at number 20 for a second, Nihirim li shvilei d'shamaya, I know the pathways of heaven even better than shvilei d'nahardah, than the pathways of Nahardah, which is my hometown. He lived in Nahardah. He was nicknamed Yarchinoi, the moon watcher, because he was an astronomer. Shmuel, you see, Shmuel's name comes again and again in these things. So Shmuel says, I'll tell you what the equinox is, and it's not what you think it is. Number 19, Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, the ain't kufas tishrei nofeled ela oy b'shalosh shas or b'teish shas. Let me give you a rule. The tkufa of Tishrei will either be at 3 hours or 9 hours. What does that mean? If you think of the day starting at 6, which, by the way, on the equinox, it pretty much does, you know, leaving aside daylight saving time, which messes things up, because they didn't have that then. So the tekufa of Tishrei will always be on the 9 a.m. or p.m. and on the 3 a.m. or p.m. Okay? And I'll tell you something else. There's always an exact time. Bein bein balayl, it'll be at the 9 or the 3 on the clock. The ein bein tekufa letekufa ela tishim ve'echad yom v'sheva shaos u'mechza. And the exact time between the halachic definitions of the equinox is 91 days, 7 hours and a half. 91 days, 7 and a half hours. That's the exact difference between one tekufa and the next. And by the way, you see how this works now in terms of the days and the why it's always going to go through from 3 to 9, 3 to 9, 3 to 9, 3 to 9, etc. And he says, where does he get this number from? 91 days, 7 and a half hours. Where does he get that number? He just takes 365 and a quarter and divides it by 4. Because as you know, there are 365 and a quarter days in a solar year. If you divide that by 4, you get exactly 91 days, 7 and a half hours. And therefore, it's a fixed thing. It's nothing to do with the actual astronomical equinox. It's a halachic definition. This is when the equinox is. Okay, so we're already going to be a little bit off from the actual equinox, because it's a halachic definition. Of course, the definition...
Why does it say Arba?
Because all the Arba Tekufot, there's Tishrei, there's Tevet, there's Nisan, and there's Tammuz.
There are two equinox.
Yes, good, but Tekufa is also a word for the solstice. They don't have another word for the solstice in Hebrew, it's the same thing. It's the four periods. Fine. Of course, you know and I know, and you knew this before, but certainly from the shirim we gave before, that actually this 365 and a quarter is not correct. There are slightly less than 365 and a quarter days in the year. And that means that Shmuel's calendar is around 11 minutes and 14 seconds off per year, which adds up. Now, you may be interested to know that there is actually another calculation in the Gemara which is much more accurate. Rav Adar gives a calculation which is based not on the solar year, but he takes 19 years of the lunar years and divides it by 19. Okay? The whole cycle, the Metonic cycle. And that gets to a much more accurate calculation, which is only which is around 4.5 minutes shorter. So the question that I want to ask now is, why do we take the less accurate calculation of Shmuel and Dafka use that for Vatein Talo Matar? Why do we take the more accurate calculation of Rav Adar, which, by the way, is the one that they use to calculate all the months and the calendar and the whole thing works? So the Chazon Ish has a very interesting answer, and he says, there are two things that we need regular laymen, lay people, to be able to calculate. You can't be someone who knows trigonometry, you can't need that qualification to work on halacha. The two things are Vatein Talo Matar, everybody needs to know when to say that, and Birkat HaChama. Birkat HaChama, which every 28 years, the next one's coming up, I can't remember exactly when, I think I put something in the notes on that, it's about another 15 years. If you remember, we did Birkas HaChama a while ago now, we're halfway through. Birkas HaChama and Vatein Talo Matar are based on Shmuel's calculation, which is less accurate. Why? Because everybody needs to work them out. The Sanhedrin, who are experts, they can use the more complicated calculations to work out the calendar. Because halacha needs to work for everybody at all times. For example, I don't turn around and say, if I drop milchiks in my fleishik soup, well, is there milchik taste in there? Okay, send it to a lab. Put it through a centrifuge, and let's see if there's milchik pulp. No, I don't need a lab to keep halacha. We'll taste it, get a non-Jew to taste it, or we'll say it's a 60th. We'll use a standard calculation. Insects which are invisible are not a problem in kashrus. Ah, but look under a microscope. No, I don't need a microscope to keep halacha. The moon is visible when the naked eye sees the moon as visible. Ah, but with a telescope I could see a thinner moon. I don't need a telescope in order to keep halacha. So too I have to be able to keep birkas hachama and v'tein tolamata using a simple calculation. And therefore, it always turns out, according to Shmuel, because Shmuel of course is in sync with the Julian calendar, right? The Julian calendar is the one that says 365 and a quarter. Shmuel will always come out that Tkufat Tishrei is on September the 24th every single year, according to the Julian calendar. Because it's fixed. It doesn't vary. It doesn't move around. Okay, so we should start 60 days after September the 24th. Meaning, Shmuel doesn't change things a lot. So I go from September the 23rd to the September the 24th because of the different calculation. But it's still November. Now, why do we start saying the 10 Talamata in November? Have a look at number 21. Bet Yosef. The Bet Yosef says, the Kasa of Harav David Abu Darham. He quotes the Abu Darham that says, the Yom Shishim, the 60th day, Yavoh, will always fall on Bechaf Bet Minovembri. 22nd of November. He says the English month. Well, English, Spanish month. Okay? Im Haya Oso February. Mikaf chet yom. If the next February is a regular 28-day February, aval im haya February mikaf tet yom. But if the February is 29 days, tia hashela b'chaf gimel b'November. Then we'll be asking the year before on the 23rd of November. We'll see why soon. Ki tkufa tishrei, because the tkufa of tishrei li'olam is always on shiva yamim kodem Octobri. Is always 7 days before October. By the way, what do you see in the parentheses from this Beis Yosef? He doesn't have a problem saying October, November, and February. That comes back to what we said last week. Although we did also say last week that October, November, and February are dafka the least problematic ones, less problematic than January, March, and May, etc. Okay, you could make that distinction. Fine. So good. So he's Paskin. November the 21st, November the 22nd. Why, therefore, do we not start on those dates? So I put here, in D4, Pope Gregory strikes again. The Bet Yosef was written in 1542, before Pope Gregory changed the calendar. Now, I'm not going to talk at length about the calendar, because we talked about that 2 weeks ago. But Pope Gregory realized that the Julian calendar, by his time, was already way out of date. The spring equinox, which the church had fixed on March the 21st, to calculate Easter, already by the time of Pope Gregory, had fallen back to March the 11th. And he said, we can't go on like this, because Easter's soon going to be in the middle of December. Okay? They've got a problem with Easter, like we've got an issue with Pesach. Fine. So he said, we're going to take 10 days out of the calendar, which is what he did in October of 1582, and therefore from that year, the very next year, 1583, the equinox, spring equinox, was on the right day, and therefore, in order for us to calculate the Tein Talamata according to Shmuel, we need to put the 10 days back in. Because we need to be working on the Julian calendar. That's how Shmuel works. Ah, but it's out of sync. We're not trying to work out the exact calculations. The Sanhedrin can do that. We're trying to work out for the layperson, when do they start asking for rain? So we have to put the days back in. Over to page 6. So just simply put the days back in and go from November the 21st, put your 10 days back in, and you get, lo and behold, to December the 2nd. So we should start asking for rain on December the 2nd. But we don't. Why not? Because Pope Gregory also said, I'm going to make a change in the calendar to keep the calendar more accurate, not to have to do this again in 700 years. So what did he do? The Julian calendar is inaccurate for 3 days out of every 400 years. So he says every 400 years, we're going to just recalibrate those 3 days. And the way he did it is to say, yes, every 4 years is a leap year, but on the century year will not be a leap year, in order to adjust. Except if the century year divides by 400, and then it'll still be a leap year like you'd expect it to be. And that way, 3 days in every 400 years, we can correct. So we now are trying to work out when to say the Tein Talamata. So in the time of Pope Gregory, it's on December the 2nd. Okay, so 1600, was that a leap year, yes or no? Yes, it was, because 1600 divides by 400, so no change. But 1700 was not a leap year, so we had to move forward to December the 3rd, or backwards, depending on how you look at it. 1800 was also an adjustment year, December the 4th. Okay. 1900 was also not a leap year, it's adjustment year, December the 5th. So finally we're at December the 5th. 2000 was a leap year, okay, because it's the 400, so we don't have to move from December the 5th. So lo and behold, we start saying V'tein Tol HaMata on December the 5th, which of course means Mariv on December the 4th. And that's what's printed in all the Sidurim. Most people just say, why do I need a shir? I'll just do what it says in the Siddur. Okay? And luckily, they didn't need to reprint all the Siddurs between the 20th and the 21st centuries, because they didn't change. But they will need to do it eventually. So we now start saying V'tein Tol HaMata on December the 4th and Mariv. If there is a leap year the following year, it means that things have already, even in the Julian calendar, begun to get out of sync. Because it's not really, you know, you haven't put the fourth year back in. We've still been going on 365, right? Not 365 and a quarter. Which means that by already the year before the leap year, the Tekufa has already moved ahead a day before we recalibrate with the February the 29th. So by the day before the leap year, or by the year before the leap year, it'll have to be December the 6th, meaning the 5th of Mariv. So that's what the Sidurim say, December the 4th Mariv. And if the next year is a leap year in the secular calendar, December the 5th Mariv. Okay? We will need to reprint the Sidurim in the year 2100, because in 2100, it'll go forward another day to December the 7th and 6th. Okay? Now, of course, if you're thinking this through, you'll realize, well, over time, this is actually going to start becoming a problem. And one of the interesting questions is, do we start saying V'tein Tol HaMata after Hanukkah? Now, as time goes on, that's going to become more and more relevant. It's only happened twice in history that we've said we started asking for rain after Hanukkah. I put a footnote. Once was in 1890-something. Where did I put here? 1899. And once was in 1975, which was a bit of a cheat because it was a leap year the next year. So anyway, it was December the 5th and it was Shabbos, so we did it a day later. But just put a note in your calendar as you get to the year 2200, 2300, V'tein Tol HaMata will start falling increasingly after Hanukkah. Of course, if you go forward 25,000 years, if we kept with the same calendar, V'tein Tol HaMata would fall on Pesach and we won't say it at all. But I'm sure that by 25,000 years from now, Mashiach will have come, we'll have got a brand new calendar, and we won't be worrying about that. Certainly none of us need to make a diary note for that. Okay, everything straightforward. Now you know where December the 4th and 5th comes from, because it's Mariv on those nights, and that's what we need to do. Okay, last question. Okay, that's fine, but I don't live in Babylon. I lived in England. In Israel, of course, it's simple, although we saw at the beginning it's not so simple. But all the countries outside Babylon that need rain at other times, what should they do? So let's go into this, because this is fascinating. The Gemara asks already this question, number 22. Shachole bnei Ninveh l'Rebbe. The people who lived in Ninveh. Now, Ninveh is where in Iraq, where Mosul is today. And there is an academic suggestion that it shouldn't say Ninveh because there were actually no Jews in Ninveh at that time. Maybe it should say Naveh, which is on the Iranian border. I'm not getting into what their microclimate is. But the point is, well, whoever these people were, they said to Rebbe, Kagain Ana, what should we do? Da'afila b'tkufa tamuz ba'in ha'mitra. We need rain in the summer. In tkufa tamuz. We need rain in June. What should we do? Hey Chanavid, what should we do? Ki yichidim daminan, are we like individuals with our own private needs? Or karabim daminan, or are we like a public? Now, what does that mean? Ki yichidim daminan, are we like individuals b'shmeya tefillah? We'll just add a private tefillah in shmeya tefillah. Or karabim daminan, or b'birkas hashanim? Or should we put v'tein Tol HaMata in b'birkas hashanim? Shalach lechu, and he sent them an answer. Ki yichidim damisu, you are like individuals. Who b'shmeya tefillah, you shouldn't make a change in b'birkas hashanim, it should be in shmeya tefillah. Meisvei, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, Eimatai, when do these rules that we've said apply about V'tein Tol HaMata? Bizman she'ashanim ketikanan, when the years are calculated in the right way, the Yisrael shurim al admatan, and the Jewish people are in Israel. Aval bizman azeh, but these days when we're all scattered, hakolafi ashanim, it depends on the year, hakolafi amakomis, it depends on your location, hakolafi azman, it depends on the time. meaning you should be asking for rain whenever your country needs rain. In v'tein talamata in birkas hashanim. Whichever time of year it is. Don't we paskin like that? Amalei. So they said, well, what are you asking here? Masnisa ramis alei the Rebbe. Are you asking, are you bringing a brisa against Rebbe? Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. Rebbe tanu hupalik. Rebbe can say whatever he likes. And he says, you can only say it in Shmei Tefillah. So, what's the halacha? My havala, what's the halacha? Rav Nachman amar bebikas hashanim. Rav Nachman says, no. You can put it into birkas hashanim. If you live in a place that needs rain in summer, your place can say it in birkas hashanim. Rav Sheshis amar, Rav Sheshis says, no, b'shmei tefillah. You have to say in Shmei Tefillah. B'hilchasa b'shmei tefillah. After a lot of difficulty, we've managed to get to a psak, which is, if you live in a place, like the people of Nineveh live, where they need rain at a strange time of year, you can put into your own private tefillah in Shemei Tefillah, b'tein talomata. But you can't change the tefillah. Everybody, the rest of the tefillah, everybody has to ask at the same time, even if you live in a place which doesn't need rain at that time. Okay, fine. How does this work, halacha l'maisa? So I want to talk about a few people. We may not have time to read all the sources, but let me tell you at least what they say. The Rambam gives a confusing presentation. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah paskens like this Gemara, and that says basically, if you live in a place that needs private rain wherever you are, your own specific climate, then you put it into Shomei Tefillah. But otherwise, you stick with the rest of the world with Bavel. He changes it slightly. He says, look at number 23. Mishiva yamim amar chashva and shoel in esek gesham and bebrikas hashanim kol zman shemazki hageshem. Fine, that's in Israel. But ma divar amamorim be'eretz Yisrael. Aval b'shinar, where's Shinar, Bavel, b'suria, b'mitzrayim, ubemakaymes asmuchim la'elu v'hadoimim la'em, or places which are nearby or similar to them, sholim etz geshamim b'yom shishim achat kufas tishrei. Fine. So he says, if you're anywhere near these places or the same kind of climate as these places, you have to stick with a regular rule. If you want a private tefillah, you put it into Shmei Tefillah. Fine. The problem is, on the Perish on the Mishnah, which he wrote when he was younger, he gives the opposite answer. He says, no, it depends on where you live. If you live in a place that needs rain in the summer, then you have to put v'tein talamata into Birkas Hashanim in the summer. And he says, do you know, he says in the Perish on the Mishnah, you can read it later, there are places a long way away from here where the whole climate is inverted and the summer months are in December and the winter months are in June. Well, the question is, how did the Rambam know that? Meaning no one had circumnavigated the globe in the 12th century and nobody knew about the southern hemisphere. Or did they?
People knew that there was a globe.
So, okay, that's a debate. Most people in the ancient world did think the world was round. It was only the simple people thought the earth was flat. But the Rambam says very clearly there are entire countries where the climates have shifted around. So the truth is, it could even be that the ancient world, they did know about the southern hemisphere, especially in Africa. Okay, they didn't know Australia, they didn't know South America. But they did know Africa. I brought you in the footnotes. Herodotus brings a story that the pharaoh sent an expedition around the bottom of Africa, and they went down the Red Sea and they came back through the Straits of Gibraltar. Okay, that's interesting. A long time before Vasco da Gama or whoever it was that went round the bottom. Actually, he went to South America. But the point is that, however he knew, the Rambam knew that there were places where you flip the climate, and he said that's the halacha. So how do I put the Rambam together with the Rambam? In one place he says you can't change, and the other place he says you can change. Okay, the Ritva was an outlier. The Ritva lived in Spain in the 1300s. Rav Yontzef Asvili, they often call him Ashvili. You think he comes from Georgia, from Tbilisi, but no, he comes from Spain. It's Asvili, it's Sevili, he came from Spain. And the Ritva is a very unusual psak. The Ritva says, look, I already told you what I think about Eretz Yisrael. He says, which is that you should really start straight after Sukkot. Why are we waiting until the 7th of Cheshvan for Ole Regalim that aren't even there anymore? And he says, actually, I think you should start saying according to your own climate. That's what I think. Have a look here for a second. Where are we here? You just take the bottom two lines. Aval chashasha de piri, we're not worried about the fruit. He thinks you should start straight after Sukkos. Ein chashasha, we're not worried about the fruit. Kol kach kedei la'acha sheile b'zman oruch, shitzrichin l'kushamim le'teake v'adzayin atzamach b'tzkufa. He says, I don't think you should be waiting. You need rain in October, in November. Don't wait till December to start asking for rain. V'gam zevadai minhag yafe v'shita nechayna. And I think he's absolutely right. The people in Chutz La'aretz should be asking for rain earlier. Don't wait till the 60 days after the Tekufa. That's already Bavel, that's not you. Ella, but what can I do, he said. She'ein l'shanoi ze mipnei ha-minag shehu kederach agam. But my hands are tied. Everybody follows Bavel. So I'm not going to argue. Even though in principle, I don't think you should be waiting till December. You should be asking when you need. But what can I do? There's nothing I can do to change. And therefore he kind of says, in theory, everybody should be asking when they need. But in practice, let's not cause trouble. Let's go with the flow. And remember the Rashi at the beginning, our minag is like Bavel. He lays it down very clear. Don't mess with the Babylonians. The Rosh is a fascinating story. The Rosh came from Germany. And he escaped Germany. His own Rebbe, the Maram of Rottenburg, was captured by the Europeans, by the Christians, and imprisoned and died in prison. He escaped to Spain, and he went to be the Rav in Toledo. Okay, he went from Regensburg, I believe, and he spent some time in Provence, and he went to be the Rav in Toledo. And he writes in two places about this issue. And in number 26, which is in his Piskei Harosh on the Gemara, he actually writes that I don't know why people who need rain shouldn't be asking when they need it. I think in principle they should be asking when they need it. It all depends on the country. And he says, and I think that's what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant that if you live in a place where a few individuals need rain, that's what the Gemara was talking about, the people of Nineveh, or wherever it was. But if you have a whole country that needs rain, a whole area, a whole region, then surely you should be asking in the appropriate time of year for rain in the Shemoneh Esrei. You shouldn't just be going by Bavel. And therefore he writes very strongly that for us, this he wrote already when he was in Europe, if we don't get rain in October and November, all the seeds that we put in the ground will all be eaten by the mice and the birds. We need the rain much earlier. We should be asking much earlier. And therefore, he says, I think we should be doing something quite different from what most people do. Okay, and then he quotes in Provence, Taka, they started on the 7th of Cheshvan, just like Eretz Yisrael. However, when the Rosh got to Spain, he had to change his mind. And he writes a whole tshuva here. In number 27, I brought you the end of the tshuva, which basically he says, look, in theory, I'd love to be able to ask for rain when we need to ask for rain. But what can I do? I tried this in the shuls here, and everybody shouted at me. In order to avoid machlokas, I'm going to change my psak. I'm going to fall in line with everybody else, and I'm going to ask for rain in the normal time for Babylon. And he says at the end of here, and I'm even writing this on Chol HaMoed, which is not what I normally would do, because this is causing so much tension and so much machlokas, that the Rosh says I'm going to have to back down, even though I would love to. And even in my personal Shemoneh Esrei, I feel that I can't go against the flow because nobody agrees with me. So actually the Rosh and the Ritva are on the same page on this, even though, interestingly, they never actually cross-refer to each other almost anywhere. There's something going on between the Rosh and the Ritva. They lived as rabbis in Spain, not far from each other. One was in Seville, one was in Toledo, but they seem to studiously ignore each other most of the time. But that's not for now. Okay, even the Rosh's own son, the Tor, ruled against him and said, look, my dad says this, I get it, but everybody starts when the Babylonians start, and therefore we start saying Talamatar in the normal place. And if you look over on page 9 for a second, I brought you the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch rules exactly what you expected him to rule. We go with the Babylonians. We all start 60 days after the Tekufa, and the Aruch HaShulchan gets...
We go with the minhag
of the Babylonians. And the Aruch HaShulchan actually gets really upset about this. And the Aruch HaShulchan in Europe in the late 19th century says, just look at the bold words in number 30, as we pass like this, ki'ilu yatsa baskol lasos k'nei bavel. It's almost like a baskol has gone out to, like a heavenly voice, to Paskin like the Bnei Bavel. And then he says at the end, v'kolam mafak peik bazeh, anyone who even questions this, roi leonesh, needs to be punished. Why are you getting so upset? One of the reasons he's so upset is because the reform movement, Abraham Geiger and the reform movement, one of the first things they did is change the date of when you start saying Matan Torah Matzah. Okay, things have moved on since then. There are other more serious problems going on in the world than that. But interestingly, this became a major cause célèbre. Let me just, in the last minutes of the shiur, the last 1 minute, make a mention. This, the rest is in English, you can read it for yourself. The first question to ever come out of the new world, the first shaila, was when should we start saying Matan Torah Matzah? And the Jews in Recife in Brazil asked a question on this. And they were given a psak, which is, okay, you need rain in the summer. You can't follow the Babylonian custom. So he said you should put a private thing in Matan Torah Matzah. You can look in Shemaya Tefillah. You can look on your own how he answered them. When the communities in Melbourne were set up, they asked questions to the British chief rabbis, because Melbourne was and is part of now the Commonwealth, then the British Empire. And the British chief rabbis basically said, you don't have to follow the Babylonian custom. Rabbi Nathan Marcus Adler said that. Before him, Rav Shlomo Herschel said that. You don't have to follow the Babylonians. You should be doing something a little bit different based on your locality. You can look at the details. However, there was a Rav in the 1890s, came to Australia, Rabbi Abraham Hershkovitz, who went ballistic and said, absolutely not. Everybody has to fall in line with the Bnei Bavel. There was big machlokas. He tried to change the minhag. And in the end, he left after 2 years and got a job in Ohio, which was much less problematic and tumultuous. And he didn't succeed in changing the minhag, but somebody else did. They and eventually the Australians also fell in line, and they also now say, together with the Babylonian custom. One major difference is Rav Shmuel Vosner. Rav Vosner, whose son was a Rav in Montevideo in Uruguay, actually says that they for sure shouldn't be following the Babylonian custom. Because for them to be asking for rain at exactly the wrong time of year is like asking God to change the whole climate. He says that's disastrous, you can't do that. And therefore he is an outlier in that, in the sense that he says if you mamash live in a place where the rain is detrimental, you shouldn't just be following the Babylonian custom. I don't know if there's still a community in Uruguay. I didn't check on what they do. But in Australia, in South Africa, in New Zealand, I was told in New Zealand it rains all day, every day anyway. In South Africa, in Johannesburg, Dafka, actually they get rain in the summer, which kind of fits in, because even though it's the summer, it's actually the months when we ask for rain, etc. So that kind of fits for them, although Cape Town doesn't really work. And as I brought here at the very end, are we really praying for rain in Israel? People say yes, but actually it sounds from the halachic discussion that they're really not. Of course, there's one way to solve this entire problem, which is that the people living in Chutz La'aretz should just move to Eretz Yisrael. And then we can just argue whether we should be saying on the 7th of Cheshvan or straight after Sukkot, which we basically decided is the 7th of Cheshvan. You can see already these fascinating shilas coming out of the Southern Hemisphere. To what extent does the microclimate or even macroclimate change the halacha? Okay, so hopefully that brings clarity to a world of confusion. At the next time, which will be 3 weeks from now, I will actually get to the topic that the person who asked me to speak on asked me about, which is why is there such a split between Chutz La'aretz and Israel on the parshas? And 3 weeks from now, we'll still be out of sync, don't worry, so it'll still be relevant, and we will talk about that then, and it's all the way up until the end of July, almost till Tisha B'Av.
What are you doing for that Shabbat? Are you going to be missing the parshas?
Yeah, that's not the first time. I've already missed two. Don't worry. I've been in and out of Chutz La'aretz twice since then.